This is UN in Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Jocelyn Sambira. This week, we have a special program focusing on South Sudan. The world's newest nation has just marked 5 years of independence, but those celebrations have been marred by death and the further displacement of thousands of civilians. Later in the program, a respected elder says that guns will not bring peace to her country, and a hospital run by Cambodian peacekeepers is helping the wounded get back on their feet. But first, peace in South Sudan can only be salvaged through a strong political and coordinated approach, UN peacekeeping chief Hervé Latsou has told the Security Council. Violence between rival forces in the capital, Juba, has killed up to 300 people, including two UN peacekeepers. South Sudan has only been independent since July 2011, but has experienced more than 2 years of war, stemming from a political rift between the president and his deputy. While the two leaders have joined to form a transitional unity government, the renewed fighting has cast doubts over the implementation of a peace agreement signed last August. Here's the peacekeeping chief, Hervé Latsou, addressing the council.
As the Secretary General himself has stated, the Security Council must urgently consider the question of an arms embargo. Clearly, the threat of that has done little to deter the parties, but I think it has to be as clear as possible. Likewise, additional targeted sanctions on leaders and commanders that block the implementation of the peace agreement must be enacted immediately. The never-ending cycle of violence, of devastating violence of South Sudan, must come to an end now.
The 6 days of fighting resulted in 272 deaths, according to government figures. But Mr. Latsou believes this was only the tip of the iceberg. It's further estimated that gun battles displaced at least 42,000 people, 7,000 of whom ran to UN facilities that are already housing scores of civilians uprooted by war. Alongside the Security Council, the African Union and the regional body IGAD have condemned the violence. Hervé Latsou again.
Now we can clearly see the results of the deliberate attempts by the parties to stall the implementation of the peace agreement, which one should not forget was signed almost 1 year ago, in August last year. We can less than ever afford to sit idle as the people of South Sudan yet again bear the brunt of the intransigence of their leaders.
South Sudan's ambassador to the United Nations expressed condolences for the deaths of the two UN peacekeepers. Akwe Bonamalwa said the unity government formed in April remains on course to implement the peace deal.
It is unfortunate to note that the few achievements of the transitional government of national unity have been severely impacted by the events of the last few days in South Sudan. Nevertheless, the transitional government remains committed to the implementation of the agreement and considers the setbacks as learning curve.
The ambassador urged the Security Council to engage all sides to double their efforts to implement the agreement so that South Sudan's people can begin building a better future. Guns will not help to bring peace in South Sudan. That's the view of one prominent elder in the world's newest nation. South Sudan gained independence from Sudan on July 2011 in a referendum in which almost 99% of the population voted to secede. The most recent upsurge in fighting is just the latest incident in the civil conflict that broke out in December 2013. Up to 300,000 people are estimated to have been killed, and more than 1 million people have been displaced inside South Sudan. Around 400,000 people have fled to the neighboring countries. Felix Francis Cady reports from Western Equatoria State.
In Western Equatoria, strong voices for peace are raising throughout the region. Prominent elders have joined the many voices drumming up support as the country observes the fifth independence anniversary. 74-year-old Mama Mary Biba is one of the prominent elders in the region who believes that the journey to independence was not easy, but as she puts it, togetherness made the dream a reality.
We worked together. We even joined the military. We were in the training. And again, we went footing for 35 days to Eastern country to form the civil structure. under the leadership of John Garang, and together with Sarpa, who was his assistant. So I experienced how we worked, and we came back and formed the civil structure. This is how we started.
For Mary Biba, not all hope is lost. She says dialogue and not guns will help reignite the growth and development prospects of South Sudan. Mama Biba's sentiments have been echoed by Raphael Zomoy, a veteran politician in Yambio. When I visited him at his home, the 83-year-old sat steadily reflecting on the hopes that the new nation and citizens can cling on.
If there are issues among the people, it is to be solved by a peaceful way of solving situations and not by war. We should have sat down to make a plan and make our priorities. Then we involve the people. What do they want? So that we know exactly what we are doing is acceptable by the people and not for our interests. We should not be divided by whatever happens. I think this is not the way our neighbors have come to develop their country.
For Radio Miraya, I am Felix Francis Keche reporting.
As a ceasefire in South Sudan's capital, Juba, appears to be holding, doctors at a United Nations hospital there continue to treat people wounded during 6 days of clashes between rival forces. More than 270 people died as a result of the fighting, including two UN peacekeepers from China. Deanne Penn reports on a hospital ran by Cambodian peacekeepers at the UN mission in the country, UNMISS, which has been helping the injured get back on their feet.
The Cambodian Field Hospital has so far treated nearly 40 people injured in the fighting between forces loyal to South Sudan's president and those who support the first vice president. Tan Mading Tang Nial is the guardian of one of them, a small boy who was wounded while playing with other children under a tree. The boy sustained bullet wounds in his abdomen and on his leg.
This is from a mortar from a tank from outside that has been shot from outside and hit a tree where three children were playing under. This child here was wounded and the other two brothers were slightly injured. But thank God the other two children are fine.
At just 5 years old, South Sudan is the world's youngest country, but it has been mired in conflict for about half of that time. The UN said the recent crisis in and around the capital forced about 7,000 residents to flee to its Protection of Civilian Sites, or POC sites, which are already housing scores of people uprooted by insecurity. Colonel Nong Yamako from the Cambodian contingent at the UN mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS, is the head of the hospital.
After we provide properly medical care and treatment and a surgical operation, the patient from day to day, after they recovery, they can go back to their camp, POC. And I'm really, really happy to save their life to be in South Sudan.
The crisis erupted despite the signing of a peace agreement in August 2015 and the establishment of a transitional unity government earlier this year. Tan Mading Tang Nial remains hopeful that one day the guns will be silenced forever.
I hope that South Sudan regains peace because the people of South Sudan are good people. I hope people live in their houses again without killing each other and peace comes back to South Sudan.
This week, the UN Security Council held two meetings to address this latest turn of events in South Sudan. During a session on Wednesday, UN peacekeeping chief Hervé Ladsous told members that the international community can no longer afford to sit idle as the people of South Sudan bear the brunt of the intransigence of their leaders. Deanne Penn, United Nations.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN in Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.